Thank you. Welcome in, everyone. Welcome to the morning service. We sometimes call it the morning refresh on this rainy day, rainy weekend. God bless. Thank Him for the rain. It was getting a little hot, wasn't it? Things were getting dry. It's amazing how God knows what you need when you need it. And it sometimes seems like He's lagging behind, but really, and He's on time, isn't He? He's on time. We're open with prayer. Father Jesus, we give You praise, glory, and honor. We thank You for this day, the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we're able to physically be here. Thank You, Father, for waking us up, giving us strength, the ability to be here, Father, that You provided yet another day. And in this day, Lord, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank You, Lord. We pray now, Father, that You bless and anoint everything that's done in this house. May it be to glorify and edify the name of Jesus. Because we don't come to be seen, Lord, but we come to worship and praise You, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Creator of all. Enemy, I give you notice in the name of Jesus. You are not welcome here, and you must flee, and you shall not return in Jesus' name. By His authority and power. Lord, bless each and every person here under the sound of my voice, those that are listening and those that are coming in their cars. Give us safe journey to and fro. In Your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about your calling. Did you know you have a calling? Yes, every Christian has a calling. Every Christian is called. But you know, it's not a calling that we want to endeavor. Most of us resist our calling as a Christian. And what is that calling? It's simply to be the servant of the Most High. The servant. You know, we have no problem being servants at work or at home or wherever we want to be. We think we're serving ourselves when we go out to the clubs and we party and we drink. And we live that kind of lifestyle. But my friend, you are serving a cruel master. And one that does not love you. If I'm going to serve someone, I want to serve someone that has my best interest at heart. I want to serve somebody that loves me and cares for me. That's why I told you weeks ago that it's not easy being a submissive wife. Unless you have a husband that has a heart for God. And that in turn means he has a heart for you. And his heart is in the right place. But I want you to understand that the people that we read about, the ones that the saints of old, we call them in the Bible, they understood this calling first and foremost. Some of them had to learn the hard way. I'm talking about Paul on the road. Struck with blindness, wandering around, hearing only a voice that no one else could hear in the group that he was with. And then Jesus says, why are you kicking against the bricks? Why are you persecuting me? The one he thought he was serving by doing what he was doing, putting the Christians of Jesus Christ, the followers, in jail and having them put to death. He learned servitude real quick. And some of us have to learn the hard way. And I'll be the first to let you know I'm probably that one. The Lord has to show me the hard way because I want to do it my way. But if you look through the Bible, through the New Testament, and I'll just give you a few examples. You don't have to turn there. Look at Jude 1 and 1. He calls himself the servant of Jesus Christ. Jude was actually Jesus' half-brother. And he learned real quick that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 and 1, Simon Peter wrote, I am a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice he put servant first. He said, yeah, I spent the 3 and almost half years of his life on this earth walking with him day by day and seeing everything that he saw. And I was called to go and preach the gospel, but I am a servant first. James one in one. He called himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James. Titus, one in one. Paul was writing to Titus and he called himself a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Even John, the cousin of Jesus, when he saw him coming, he was like, I must decrease and he must increase. He knew he was just a servant. Yea, here comes the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, he said. He was a servant. He knew he had a part to play and he did it. Most of us like the idea of church. We come and put our time in, but, and oh yeah, I'll serve in church a little bit. I'll do a little of this, you call me if you need anything, Pastor. Phone rings, you know who's calling. You know the event's coming up. You're not answering that phone because you want to be a servant when you want to be a servant. That's not the way it works. We'll talk a little more about that. But I want to talk to you about the ultimate servant, the one who is our perfect example. Because if you look at Paul and you look at James and you look at Peter and you look at Jude and you look at Pastor and you look at Sonia and you look at Benny and you look at whoever you want to look at, ain't none of us perfect. But Jesus. But Jesus. Philippians 2, 7 and 8. This is a very familiar scripture. We quote it a lot. This scripture, this whole chapter actually talks about having the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ. And being a servant is not only a do, but it's a be. You be here and here first to serve. And some of us have to start with here, and then we get it in here and up to here. But a servant, listen, let me explain it. It says, verse 7, but made himself, now talking about Jesus Christ, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. You know, he left, God the Son, left heaven and came here. That's a little low, isn't it? It's a little low. He became in the form of a servant. And that tells you right there who you are, man and woman of God, a servant. And was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, that means he had to deal with all the isms of manhood. All the isms of manhood. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When I read that scripture, that lets me know right away, ain't none of Sonia in any of that, except to obey, to be humble, to serve. To serve God, you must empty ourselves of us. That's the first thing. The Holy Spirit comes once we accept Christ and make him Lord and Savior of our lives. You know, sometimes we want that first part, but not that second part. We're still working on that, aren't we? Becoming a servant, Lord, and Master to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes, and you know, the Bible says he comes to shed light on things. That's my analogy there, in Sonia's words. He comes to show man their sin. He's no different when he comes to you. He's going to show you parts and pieces of yourself, your mindsets, your thinking, the processes that you do as yourself, and who makes you who you are, where they don't line up with the Word of God. How to perform your service better. How to perform your service better. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you had a person that was your servant, your waiter or your waitress? But boy, they weren't very good at it. You sit there waiting to even take an order or even a drink order. And then you wonder where they went after that. And then when the food shows up, it's still not what you ordered. And it may not have been their fault. May have been the cook, the kitchen's fault, but anyway, that person represents that establishment, and it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. You are a servant who represents the kingdom of God. It ain't about you. It ain't about your title. It ain't about your money, your car, this, that, or the other. Uh-uh. Baby, you're a representative of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the kingdom of heaven. How do you serve that position? What kind of servant are you? First thing we have to do is to take ourselves and put on the mind of Christ. And if you're in that same chapter, you go up a couple of verses. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Let this mind be in you. Christ is mine. Christ is mine. So this is what we spend our whole days doing. We read the word. We study the word. We come to church. We listen. We worship. We praise. And we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that takes all that stuff that you've heard and listened to and read and helps you apply it to your life and your everyday walk. Every day. Every day. Gosh, it's so hard. I'll be the first one to admit it. It is horrible. It is hard. It's the hardest thing. Christianity is not for the weak of heart, let me just tell you. Because the Holy Spirit's over there saying, now, you know, Sonia, could you really have said that in a better tone? Maybe you shouldn't have said that at all. Maybe you should go over there and do this, Sonia. Oh, that's the enemy. She done pissed me off as soon as I walked in the door. You want me to go over there and be nice to her? I don't think so. Me and the Holy Spirit, we're hashing it out, and I'm sitting at my desk going, praise the Lord. Good to see you. All in my heart and my mind, this warfare is going on and this tugging with what I'm called to be and what what I am is in the midst of a horrible battle. And sometimes I catch myself doing what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, like it was an accident. And sometimes I fail. I'll be the first one to admit it. There was a time God told me to do something and I refused to do it because I didn't understand it. And definitely don't want to be a blessing to that one. And as the days and the weeks went on, I understood why God had told me to do what I was supposed to do. And I had missed my opportunity. Being a servant of God is so important because people see God in us. He doesn't walk around here in a physical body. You are his physical body. The Holy Spirit indwells within you. So what you do and what you say as a servant of God makes a difference in others' lives. You might not even know it. You may not know it until we hit glory. And you see someone that you did something that was so insignificant to you at the time. But it was the one thing that was the changing of their whole life. It set them on the correct path. The servant of God. Mark 9, 35. Let's read that. You know, we're all bent up in titles and this and that, and I've got to have a parking space, and I want an office, and I want it to be on this floor, and I don't want it to be there, and I want it being done this way. But let me tell you what God thought about all that. Mark 9 and 35. They're disputing among themselves, the disciples, the 12. And Jesus simply says to them, if any man desires to be first, the same should be last of all and a servant of all. A servant of all. If you desire to be first, you got to be a servant. This is why we find leadership such a hot mess. Everybody wants the title. Everybody wants to be on the program. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. Nobody wants to serve. Your Benny and I, you know how we started out? Yeah, I taught Sunday school, the children's. I taught Vacation Bible School for many years. When my kids were there, I was always there teaching, preaching. But you know what else we did? We cleaned the church. I went in every week with my husband if I was available and the kids were taken care of. And I washed toilets. And I helped him clean floors and wash down windows and walls of the place of God's house. That's where the servant heart starts, in humility. Matthew 20, 20 through 28. This is a familiar story. James and John's mother has come to Jesus, and he asked her, "What do you want of me?" And she said, "I want my two to sit at your right hand." And Jesus answered her and says, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Everybody wants the limelight, but nobody wants to put in the work. And he goes on to tell them, if you skip down to the latter verses, 26, it says, "But it shall not be so among you." Oh, wait, let me go above. Go to 25. "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great. They that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." And in the Hebrew, that's another word for servant. "And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, if you look at the New Living Translation of that verse, it says, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Sounds like a great position. We're all going to apply for it, right? All the applications are just rolling in. Woo! At my work, there's some jobs that come on the board, and we all go, "Don't tell her. Don't tell her. She'll just apply. Let her do it. Don't just let her do it." It's not a good place to be. I like that servant and slave. I thought that was great. A servant is someone who offers his service. And we're good at that at times. We want to offer our services. But a slave is the one that offers obedience. A slave offers obedience. Who wants to be first among you must become your slave. And we're not too good at obeying, are we? But it says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." Do you see anything coming into him in that? No. Being a servant of God, a child of God, a Christian, a disciple is pouring out all the time. Pouring out. How do you get filled? Is you go to the Word. You study the Word. You stay in prayer. You stay connected with God the Father. You listen to the Holy Ghost leading and guiding, and you obey. That's how you stay full. Because the life of a servant is always pouring out. Pouring out what was poured into you. Pouring out until you have... You think you have nothing more to pour, and it'd be amazing what God will pour back into you at just the right time to be a blessing to someone else. Many times you're put in that part of their lives just for that. There are many coworkers I've had that I have pushed them out of the nest. Usually one of the first words I say is, you are built for greater. We're going to find you a better place. Let's continue. Let's get the education that we need. One young lady, I pushed her and I said, you need to get something better. You deserve better. You've got, you know, you're so smart. You have leadership abilities. You are, you know, this, that, and the other. And she brings me a contract. She put in for a job, and it's going to require her to go to school to be taught. And they're going to pay for it all. God works great. They're going to pay to have her taught. She just has to sign a contract that says that she won't leave within like 3 years and take another position somewhere else in this field. She brings me the contract. She says, read it. Everything look okay to you? Is there any reason why I shouldn't sign this? I shouldn't do this? I said, no, honey. Step over into it. Run with it. Go. It's going to make your life better. And to this day, she still operates in that field, making buku's monies. She started right next to me. Actually, she was there when I showed up. I pushed her on. So let's go. You got potential. We need women like you in the work field. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. And she wasn't even a Christian. But I encouraged her and I poured into her. And I'm hoping one day it'll make a difference. I haven't seen it yet. What do I know, though? One day, when people from my department go over to her department, she always asks, is Sonia still with you? She's never forgotten me. Because I'm the one that kept pushing. They used to call me Mama Sonia because I was always encouraging and feeding them, whether it be physically or spiritually or emotionally. I was always putting them back together and encouraging them to be better. Keep moving. Sometimes you wonder why you're still there. Maybe because that's just part of your calling. That's all it is. Let's get back to it. He says, if you want to be a leader, you must be a servant. And if you want to be first, you must become a slave. Slave in those days was not, as we know it, the degrading, dehumanizing thing. This was a wonderful thing for a lot of people. They were treated fairly. They were provided for. And usually bond servants, after so many years, were free. Whatever the reason they were there, it wasn't a thing that we think of slavery now. Submitting your will, your own plans, your own desires, and even your rights to follow God by the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what a slave is. It's not just serving. It's submitting. Submitting. Jesus was the example of that. He was faithful. A lot of times he says, I don't even go where unless Father has showed me to go. It's so hard when you feel like you're stuck in a place and you're waiting for the next instruction, and the whole time, sometimes you get so caught up in that idea that you don't even see the opportunities that God has put you there for, to bless others. Faithful. Matthew 25:14-30 talks about the faithful servant, the ones with the talent. He gave one 5 talents, and he, while the master was gone, produced it and made it 5 more. So he had 10 talents. And there was one that he only gave like 1 or 2 to, and he took it and he hid it in the earth. And when the master came back, he dug it up and brought it to him, and he says, Lord, you're such a hard master, and you're so demanding. You know, this is, I kept it, I protected it, I didn't let no one take it. And he's like, that's not what I gave it to you for. I'm ad-libbing the story, read it yourself. But he looks at the one that produced the extra talents. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He was loyal. He was steadfast. He was out there producing, doing, being, becoming, and encouraging and doing others to move forward. And being a servant ain't just coming here on Sundays, praising and worshiping. Maybe it's out in the world being a servant. This is where you come to fill up. This is where you come to worship and praise God. And then you go out and you pour. And you pour. And you pour. And you pour. But every day you should be putting this word into you, because that's where you continue to be poured into. We are to be devoted and apply ourselves to God, His word, and His will for us. Paul told Timothy in 4 and 2, it says, be prepared in season and out of season. And Christians, that's for you. That don't just mean the ministers, the singers, the pastors. That's for you. Because you never know when you're going to walk up on somebody that is just bawling their eyes out. And they've had the most terrible news in the world. And they need comfort. Did Jesus ever turn away? No. Even the Gentile woman that came begging for her child. And he told her. He says, you know, the bread is for the children. And she said, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. He said, be it unto you. Your daughter is healed. He never turned anyone away. Never. And neither should we. God in the Spirit is prompting you to comfort that person, then you go to it. But you've got to have something in you to pour out. And it can't just be, as Pastor says, the verse of the day. Sometimes that does read into the situation, but you've got to study and apply that to your life. It's devotion. The next thing we see Jesus was, he was humble. Humble in the Greek was fear of God, reverential fear. But the other, it also means dirt. So it was a posture. Humble is a posture. It is a mindset. It is putting your face to the ground and saying, Lord, I've tried it my way, and I've seen where I've come to, and you are greater. My ideas are not good ideas. My thoughts are not good thoughts. My ways are not good ways, but yours are higher. God, show me and help me to walk this out. Humble. Humble to Him, and humility and service to others. 1 Peter 5 and 5 through 6, it is, read it. It says, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth glory and giveth grace to the humble. Humble, humility. It's looked at as a bad thing in our world, but it's not. Not the kind that God has for you. It's okay. Sometimes you feel like you're being walked on. Sometimes you feel like you're being disrespectful, but God in the whole is saying, I've got a plan. Hold you peace. Speak life. Keep a smile on your face. Be humble. Keep pouring. Even though it's not coming back, keep pouring. And the last thing we see was obedience. He was obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross. That is dutiful submission or compliance to the command of God. Dutiful submission. Jesus simply said in John 14 and 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Be obedient. The prophet told Samuel, the king, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And as Brother Ray would say, sometimes it is a sacrifice. Obedience is not easy. But I don't obey God because I have to. Because truth be told, sometimes I don't. I'm not perfect. I obey Him because I love Him. And I've seen that when I do, good things happen. Not only to those that I've been submissive to or being obedient to do, that it works the good in my own life. All things work to the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose to love Jesus. Servanthood is about love. It's about putting yourself behind and God's will and plan in the forefront. It's not a bad thing to be a servant of God. It's a wonderful thing. It promises you to be first, to be a leader. And we don't think about servant and leader as the same thing, but it is in a lot of senses. There are times when you have to make those decisions, and I want to know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ones that have seen the beginning and the end and knows all my days, he's going to give me the right direction. Will you be obedient and walk in it? Do it with humility and be faithful. The qualities of a servant. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you, Lord, that once again you have showed us the ways the enemy twists and turns and make something so beautiful so bad. We thank you, Father, that now that we know this trick of the enemy, that we can walk as the men and women of God in the army of God as we are called to be. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit guides and leads us and give us the wisdom and understanding, but give us the strength to obey, Father. Give us the strength to be submissive to your will. Because in the human nature, that's one of the hardest things to do. We thank you, though, by the cross, that sin no longer has victory in our lives, that we are more than conquerors. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.